It's always nice to have wonderful support. As I'm getting up to come up here and do the sermon for all of you, Darren leans over and he says, you could just have them do another medley instead of your sermon because he's already set the precedent. So thanks for that support, Darren. But I will not do that to the poor praise band, make them work twice as hard. You may regret that I didn't do that, but that's okay. This is it's a wonderful season, the season of Advent. It's such a great time because there is that element of expectation, that element of looking forward and looking forward to. And so as we continue, this being our second Sunday in the season of Advent, and this is kind of a compressed Advent this year because the fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve, so we have to do a lot of anticipating in a small space of time. But there is something special about it because it causes us to think a little bit more about what it is we are anticipating, what it is that we are looking forward to. Well, certainly a big element of that is you know, Christmas Day and all of the wonderful traditions that come with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. For many people, it's the eager expectation of family being gathered together. It's the eager expectation of being able to give and receive presents, the eager expectation of sharing a meal with people that you love, the eager expectation of singing wonderful songs and sharing in the spirit of Christmas Eve. And that's all good and wonderful and important and should be something that we eagerly anticipate and we have expectations for. But there's something else. There's something richer and deeper that we ought to be anticipating, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of his birth as a babe of Bethlehem. And not just within that little bit of the good news, but all that lies within that good news, all that comes with that exciting moment that took place so many years ago. And so I'd like us to ponder on that a little bit as we look at the first eight verses of the Gospel according to Mark. Now, Mark is one of the Gospels that doesn't begin with the birth story of Jesus, but begins with John the Baptist instead. And so let me share with you this passage. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless this, a portion from his holy word. You know, Donna in our office oftentimes covers for me when I make mistakes, but I think she thought that I had made a mistake And while I was gone, she changed the title of the sermon because I entitled it, The Limitations of a Baptist. I thought that was a good title. I thought it was an appropriate title, and I thought it would be kind of thought-provoking title, and she changed it to Baptismal Limitations. I prefer the limitations of a Baptist. Because I think that is the message here. That we have these anticipations, we have these expectations, and John the Baptist was a renowned prophet. There was that expectation for the people of Israel that God would send to them a prophet, one who would show them the way that they ought to go, one who would redeem the people of Israel, one who would give them hope and give them perspective and give them what they were looking for in their lives individually and in their life together. And John the Baptist came along and he was a real crowd drawer. I mean, the passage here from Mark talks about the people from all of the Judean countryside as well as from the city of Jerusalem were coming to hear him preach, were coming to respond to his word, coming to hear what he had to say, and they were responding to it as well, because it talks about them being baptized in the river Jordan. They were hearing what he was saying, and they were changing their lives because he was proclaiming a baptism of repentance, an amendment of life. And they were responding to him, and they, many, 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 thought that John the Baptist was going to be the prophet that they were hoping for. They had such eager expectations for him. They were looking for somebody who would kind of stir things up, who would renew the nation, who would renew their lives, somebody who, in the midst of the darkness within which they lived, the times were terrible times, they were under such oppression by the Roman government that they were looking for that prophet, a prophet who would change their lives. And they saw that in John the Baptist. Now, I'm not saying that John wasn't doing the right thing. I'm not saying that John wasn't preaching the Word of God. I'm not saying that their baptisms were irrelevant or that their repentance and amendment of life wasn't important or good or wholesome. But what I am saying is that they could easily get caught up in seeing John as the answer, of seeing John as the one long anticipated, hoped for, and longed for. But yet, John's role, his role as a prophet, was foretold in the prophet Isaiah himself, who said that there would be one who would prepare the way, who would kind of get the people ready for the coming of the Messiah. That there would be one who would come to kind of soften the ground a little bit before the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ would be planted. One who would proclaim that we need to make the path straight and prepare the way of the Lord and get the people ready for the good news that was yet to come. And John knew that. He knew what his role was. He knew that his role was a limited role, that his role was one of preparation, one of helping people to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. And he said that you have to realize that my baptism is just with some water. There's one who's coming, one who will be here shortly, for whom I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. And he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, John knew that there was a limit to what he could do, and that there was one who was coming, who would be the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the one that they should be eagerly expecting, eagerly hoping for, eagerly awaiting, the one in whom their hopes and dreams should be placed. That would be the one we know as Jesus. Now, there's a little part of this opening section of Mark that oftentimes gets overlooked, gets pushed off to the side, gets kind of dismissed as unimportant. But I don't think it is unimportant. I think it has a very important thing to say to all of us. You see, Mark begins his gospel by saying, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now we hear that sentence and then we quickly go on into the story about John the Baptist, into his expectation for the coming Messiah, and we forget what Mark just said there. But Mark is trying to help us to see that all that he is telling us, all that he's telling us about John, all that he's going to be telling us in this gospel, all that we know to be true about Jesus Christ is but the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. That what John is doing is a beginning, a sign of what God will yet do. The birth of the babe of Bethlehem is but a beginning, a sign of what God is yet to do. The ministry, the life, the healing, the preaching, the good works that Jesus did were but a beginning, a sign of what God is yet to do. We live in a season of expectation. We call it Advent, but it really might just simply be called our lives, that we live in a season of expectation, recognizing and seeing the beginnings of what God is doing in this world and what God is yet to do in this world. That the expectation we have in this season of Advent is certainly an expectation to hear once again the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. To hear once again that God is with us, Emmanuel. To hear once again the significance, the purpose, the beauty and the joy of that miracle that took place 2,000 years ago. But it is also a reminder that it is but a beginning of what God is yet to do, that His work is continuing in this world, in and through us, that you and I are part of that kingdom that he is building, a kingdom of God's love and grace and mercy. It is indeed the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the beginning of what he's doing in this world. That we should eagerly anticipate and desire. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth, whose life, whose death, whose resurrection is yet just a beginning of all that you are going to do in and through this world. Help us, O Lord, to be people of your kingdom, to do your work, to do your will, as we eagerly anticipate that day when your kingdom will come in full fruition. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.